Well, my name is Dan Paley, and I am not a university professor. I am but a lowly storyteller, and I'm going to tell you a story today about a young man named Henry, who grew up in a Christian home, attending meetings of his church, but all through his teenage years, he never accepted the Lord as his Savior. In fact, he laughed at Christians and often made fun of those who preached the gospel. He considered gospel preachers to be the lowest of the low, a worthless occupation. He also loved the world. He loved good food and fine clothing and sleeping late. In school, he was exceptionally brilliant. He never studied, but he always got the highest grade on every test. I think we all know someone like that. Maybe some of you are that person. But in 1920, when Henry was 17 years old, he attended his parents' church, where a well-known evangelist preached the gospel. Many in the congregation believed in the Lord right there and were saved. But Henry was conflicted. Henry had big plans for himself, grand dreams for his future. And he saw that if he accepted the Lord as his Savior, he must also accept him as his Lord and serve him for the rest of his life. What to do? On the evening of April 28, 1920, Henry, 17 years old, was alone in his room. He had no peace. He couldn't sleep. Within him was this unrelenting struggle. And so he knelt down to pray. Many sins came before him. He saw that he was a sinner. He also saw a wounded Savior hanging on the cross with arms open, ready to receive him. Henry was overwhelmed by such love. He wept. He confessed his sins. And he immediately felt the burden of sin discharged. And for the first time in his life, he felt real joy and peace. At the very same time, Henry consecrated himself to the Lord's service for the rest of his life. He then responded to the Lord's call in a very interesting way. He made a list of all of his classmates, 70 names, and he wrote them down in his notebook, and he began to pray for them, and he began to preach the gospel to them. Henry began to preach the gospel to them, and after several months, all but one of the 70 were saved. That's the first way he responded, by speaking. The second way he responded was by writing. Beginning at age 19, he started to write and distribute gospel tracts. Also at 19, how many were the 19-year-olds? Can you raise your hand? 19-year-olds. When he was your age, he began his own magazine, which he distributed freely to reach hungry Christians in need of the truth. In his early 20s, where are the early 20s? Raise your hand. Amen. When he was in his early 20s, he began giving messages, writing books, and translating classic Christian works into his native Chinese language. This is how he responded to the Lord's call. So why did Henry respond the way he did? Why did he begin to speak and write and distribute the word? Why did he respond this way? For the last 8 years, I've had the privilege of serving at Bibles for America, a nonprofit organization that gives away free copies of some of Henry's books. You might know Henry better as Watchman Nee. He changed his English name from Henry to Watchman after he answered the Lord's call and respond and serve and began to serve the Lord. So I'd like to talk today about the way that he and many others responded to the Lord's call in the way of spreading the truth. What causes such a response? Well, we have a very mysterious God. We can't see him, we can't hear him, and yet we know him. Amen? How can we know him? It is only possible because the invisible God, the creator of the universe, has chosen in his wisdom to make himself known through his word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Apart from his word, he is mysterious and unknowable, but he has spoken. Amen? And it is in his speaking, it is in his word that he reveals himself. God also works through the word. God has two great works. The first work is the work of creation. How did God create the heavens and the earth? In Genesis 1. And God said, right? Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the universe has been framed by the word of God. The second work of God is his work of building. Today God is dispensing himself in the Son, dispensing himself into us in the Son as the Spirit. John 6:63. How about, if you can see it, how about you read it with me? It is. Here in John 6, the Lord indicated that for giving life, he would become the Spirit. Then he said the words that he speaks are spirit and life. This shows that his spoken words are the embodiment of spirit and life. So when we exercise our spirit to pray over the word, we get spirit and life. We enjoy Christ. As we enjoy him, he makes his home in our heart. Our heart becomes the duplication of his heart. And what is his heart? Our Savior God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Well, if the mysterious God is known through the Word, and if we share his heart, his love for all men, then we must what? Speak the Word. We must write. We must spread the Word. Now, I'm using speaking and writing interchangeably because there are essentially four forms of verbal communication. On the input side, there's listening and reading. And on the output side, there is speaking and writing. Isn't this good? Drink and flow. Flow in, flow out. To me, for you. This is the pattern. And here is a quote from Witness Lee about the need for speaking. The Lord does everything by speaking. If there is no speaking of the Lord, there is no work of the Lord. This is a portrait. There are no cameras in 1440. This is a portrait of Johannes Gutenberg. He invented the movable metal type printing press in 1440. Up until this time, books were written by hand, which made them costly and rare. The printing press changed all of that. It gave the general public access to books and knowledge that hadn't been available before. It set in motion what historians call the printing revolution, which aided the progress of the Protestant Reformation, the Renaissance, the scientific revolution. It literally changed the world. In 1454, Gutenberg printed his first major book, the Bible. The Word of God had been unavailable to the common man for several hundred centuries, a period we call the Dark Ages. So here is a picture of the Gutenberg Bible. It really was a work of art. But though the Bible became more available, there was a problem. It was in Latin. The common man could get it if he could afford it, but he could not read it. At the time of the Protestant Reformation, William Tyndale, an English scholar and a contemporary of Martin Luther, saw something in the Word concerning justification by faith that led them to question the erroneous teachings of the day. So how did they respond to what they'd seen? They began to spread the truth. Luther wrote tracts and published papers, and Tyndale, in 1525, translated the New Testament into English. Tyndale believed that so much confusion among Christians was caused specifically by a lack of the Word. He saw that in order for God to reach man, there must be God speaking. There must be God's Word. Tyndale loved the Word, and he wanted to share it. You have on your outline there an incomplete list of all the functions of the Word. God's Word testifies concerning Christ. It convicts. It makes man wise unto salvation. Amen? It regenerates. It brings God's grace to us. It nourishes. Right? Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. What else? It causes us to grow. It enlivens, strengthens, upholds. It waters, enlightens, and delivers. Amen? Amen. It burns away the negative things. Amen. It breaks down ourself, our lusts and our concepts. It slays the enemy within. It divides our soul from our spirit. It heals. It saves our souls. It washes away our life and oldness. It sanctifies and makes us Christ's glorious bride. Praise the Lord for the Word of God. Amen. Do you love the Word of God?
Amen.
Tyndale loved the Word in such a way. But even though the Word is the truth, even though the Word is and does so many wonderful things, the Word is not always popular, is it? Tyndale translated and distributed the Word at the risk of his life. But like Peter and John in Acts 4:20, he could not help but speak the things that he had seen and heard. He was eventually captured by the King of England. He was martyred. And his last words as he was dying was a prayer. Lord, open the King of England's eyes. Within months of his martyrdom, a complete English Bible, 2/3 of it his own work, and licensed by King Henry VIII himself, was circulating through England. 80 years later, another version was produced that borrowed from Tyndale's version almost word by word, word for word. It was called the King James Version. And in the centuries that followed, more versions of the Bible became available in the language of the people, and also study Bibles became available, such as the Geneva, and centuries later, the Scofield Reference Bible. Well, when the Word began to spread in England and Europe, many people got saved. Praise the Lord. Many were saved and called. And how did they respond? You sensing a theme? They spread the Word to far-off lands. In the 19th century, missionaries such as Robert Morrison and Hudson Taylor and the Cambridge Seven spread the truth to China. They laid aside their futures and lofty ambitions, and in many cases, their own lives, in order to answer God's call and the silent cry of millions of people in need of the gospel of the truth. They participated in God's move by spreading the truth. And because of their sacrifice, God's word reached China. It reached a young man named Henry, who in turn spread it. And in 1932, his writings reached a young man named Witness Lee. He also responded to the Lord's call and joined Brother Nee in the work of the ministry in a very particular way. He became the editor of one of those magazines Brother Nee had started. He also realized the power of the word and the need to spread it. In 1958, Brother Lee made his first trip to the United States and observed a tremendous lack of truth among American Christians. Many churchgoers were dissatisfied with what they were hearing on Sundays, and attendance in those churches reflected it. This is the cover of Time magazine in 1969. This was the state of Christianity when Brother Lee came. Those years in the 50s and 60s were also years of social upheaval in America. War, political discord, racial tension. It was a time of tremendous seeking and a time of crying out for meaning and truth. So how did Brother Lee respond? In 1962, he moved to the United States and began speaking and writing. For 35 years, he spoke and spoke and spoke, and his messages have resulted in more than 400 books. In that time, the word has spread across America and Canada and Europe and Africa and South America and Australasia. A tough one. And it reached us. Amen? Well, today, more than 50 years later, the need for the spreading of the truth remains. Among Christians, church attendance and the reading of the Bible are again in a steady decline. This is the cover of Newsweek just a couple of years ago. The decline and fall of Christianity, or of Christian America. Not much has changed since those revolutionary days of the 60s. Check the headlines. Social upheaval, war, political discord, racial tension. Isn't that the world we live in? We try to fix the world with politics and technology. We look for answers in science and philosophy. But there is no solution apart from the Word of God. Do you like the world you live in? Do you like injustice? Do you like this age? How about we end it? And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. So how should we respond? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. That which we have seen and heard, we report also to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write, that our joy may be made full. These things we write. These things we speak. These things we spread. Do you see it? In this verse, through the written word, men are led to touch Christ, the living word, who brings us into fellowship and enjoyment of the triune God. This is why people need the word today. They need spirit and life They need to call on the name of the Lord. How then shall they call upon Him into whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe into Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without one who proclaims Him? Around the year 2000, a number of saints who had enjoyed the Word and observed the situation in America decided to respond in this way. They started a company called Bibles for America and began to give away the Bible for free. As of today, we have passed out 1.2 million free copies of the New Testament Recovery Version, 2.1 million free ministry books. Amen? And you know what? We are not done. In the next 7 years, we're going to give away another 1.2 million recovery versions and 2.5 million ministry books. We also publish a blog that is flooding the internet with the truth and reaching more of God's hungry seekers. We also publish gospel and truth videos. Maybe some of you have seen them. Just a question. How many of you have preached the gospel in 175 countries? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. These videos have. The internet is the most far-reaching and world-changing technology since the printing press. Today, we can spread the Word of God across the world simply by sharing and liking things. And the Lord knows we can share and like some things, can't we? That's all we do all day is share and like things. Why not the Word of God?
Amen.
We also have gospel tracts. Oops. We also have gospel tracts and offer cards and bookmarks that provide you an easy way to flood your campus with the truth. And on your way out, the ushers have a box of packets, and inside are gospel tracts for each of you. Okay? So take them back and flood your campus with the truth. And if you want more, we will gladly send you more. If you don't like passing things out on campus, if you're shy, like me, you can give to BFA. $10 a month will put Bibles into the hands of 24 people a year. How many of you gave away 24 Bibles last year? It's okay. $10 is not a high price to participate in God's move, is it? For some of you, maybe it is. I understand. But for others, I don't think $10 a month is too much. Buy fewer Frappuccinos. Don't give your money to Starbucks. Give away the Word of God.
Amen.
Listen, we are not here to build up BFA for BFA's sake. We are here for the spreading of the truth. And I can tell you, based on what I see every day at BFA, two things. One, people are in desperate need of the Word. And two, the recovery version and the ministry books open the Word to people, and they feed and nourish people. Don't you agree? Has that been your experience with the Word? We believe the recovery version, in the great tradition of study Bibles, is poised to significantly advance the understanding of the Word of God today. I have one more story to tell you. It's a very different story. It's about a man named John who discovered BFA online and sent us this email. I have a serious question to ask. I'm a born-again Christian, and I am struggling with certain sin in my life. The Holy Spirit convicts me deeply when I sin willfully against my Lord. I can't seem to stop no matter how hard I try. Does this mean I'm truly not saved? Am I going to hell for sinning? I want to stop, but it's like there's a war going on in my body. Please help me. Well, we wrote him back eventually, but you remember I mentioned that Henry was smart and he didn't really study too hard for his tests, right? Well, part of the reason was he was studying the Bible, often in class, which I don't recommend. Do you know what was the first truth recovered by Brother Watchman Nee? That's right. The assurance of salvation. Knowing that we are saved is absolutely critical to our going on as Christians. But almost 100 years since Brother Nee recovered that truth, many, like John, still struggle with this very foundational truth. Today, there is the need for the spreading of the truth. Don't you think our brother John should know that he is saved? So we wrote him back. We referred him to Brother Nee's book, Assurance, Security, and Joy of Salvation. We sent him our blog posts and our truth videos. And 2 weeks later, I went to the Lord this morning. I know I'm saved. Satan is attacking me, but I am drawing close to God. The Lord has given me the assurance of salvation. Amen. I could spend the rest of the day reading comments to you from our recipients, but we don't have time. Okay, this verse have you seen this verse before? Okay. Good. Well, I encourage you to pray over it and to read the footnotes on this verse. It begins, you probably have heard this already this week. Is that what you're all laughing at? Okay. It begins, throughout the centuries, there has been a line of those who have offered themselves willingly to the Lord. Amen? In case after case after case, I only told you a few, they responded to the Lord's call in the way they could to spread the truth. And I would like to speak by faith on your behalf that you are in that line. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you in that line?
Amen.
And so, I'll end with a question. It's a question for each of you personally. It's a question for you and your companion. It's a question for you and your campus clubs. You hold in your hands the eternal word of the truth. You also hold at your fingertips the greatest technology since the printing press. One that allows us to reach more people with the Word of God than at any time in the history of man. Finally, you are surrounded day and night on your campuses, in your classes, in your dorms, by the silent cry of millions of students, desperate for the Word of God. How will you respond? Dear brothers and sisters, don't let this week pass without offering yourself willingly to the Lord. And tomorrow, as you leave and return to your churches and campuses, consider how you can participate in God's move today by spreading the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.